We go.
Alright. So, previously on Crazy Wimples, we have pretty much, Beaver suggested that the captain of the guard had something to do with the avalanche.
You are right, yes.
And Caspian asked if there's any man brave enough willing to investigate these bandits, to capture one of the bandits.
Right. That is true.
And I was the first volunteer.
That I imagine. Well, accordingly then, a group sets out down south to be
after
able to...
After call break.
But yes, they absolutely had to call break. And while they're heading down, Beaver asks Francis, you know, we could offer them some sort of reward. Do you think that'd be a safer way to get one of them out?
Okay. Offer a reward? Oh, you mean like...
For the testimony.
You mean bribe one of them to testify against the captain of the guard?
Oh, bribery's not the right word. How about, well, it's a settlement in court. You know, one of those legal terms.
So you mean like give them a reward? Give them a reward for testifying against Roderick. Testifying against the captain of the guard.
Well, that was my thinking. I figured we might have. You good?
But that money's given to them after we do it.
Oh, of course, yes. I figured it might be a more secure way to get them down from the mountains than, you know, they're pretty experienced at being highway robbers. Not that I'm afraid of or anything, I just figured I'd be, you know, practical about all this.
Alright, try to prevent a fight from breaking out, I understand.
In so many words. Caspian, though, on the other hand, is a little hesitant. He feels a little annoyed at the fact of having to reward these criminals who clearly had their own reward in doing the bidding of the captain's wishes in causing this avalanche in the first place. He seems a little irked at the thought of giving them more reward for their crime. So, Beaver decided to wait, and they'd see how everything played out. And hopefully there wouldn't be arrows, as Beaver said. When they got closer down to the encampment, they asked of some nearby merchants, for that was, as they recalled from the testimonies on the witness stand, merchants especially had complained of the bad conditions of the road due to these highway robbers. And when they encountered them, there seemed to be a couple of merchants, or rather, the merchants' sons, who seemed to be particularly knowledgeable about where the campsites and hangouts of these particular men tended to be. And the reason for this is because while their fathers were trying to deal with it in the most peaceful way, or quick, swift way, the younger generation was getting most angry at this unfair and cruel and ridiculous hamperings on their older generation. So
you can join us against them.
And so they had many a volunteer, and two or three of the young lads advised them that obviously the highwaymen made most of their raids in the night. The best time to catch them was ironically somewhere at 8 o'clock in the morning. For it was at that time that they were shifting around their posts. For they figured that most travelers, in trying to avoid them, would try to slip through the dead of night. Or, if they were... these robbers were brazen enough to hit them off in the midday. So it was at this morning junction that they were most at their weakest and would not be prepared for anyone to be out on the road.
Oh, before I continue, can you hear me? Can you hear me very well on your end?
I can, thank you. How about me?
Yeah, I can kind of hear you somewhat. I'm trying my best to enunciate.
Oh, am I slurring?
No, you're not slurring. It's just the phone, not you.
Oh, thanks, Francis. Well, yes, I will hear. Maybe I can move the phone a little closer. How is that? Maybe that's better.
Yeah, that's slightly better.
Okay, there we go. Yeah.
Please continue. Actually, so I was going to ask. So, I guess we should come back later.
And one of the young lads suggests, no, if you stay at our father's caravan, they were hoping to break off 2 days from now. I'm sure there's space for you there. We'll make sure that there's room.
Alright, well, what time is it now?
So, it is about 6 o'clock in the evening by the time that they made it down south.
Oh. Okay.
So, after they are introduced to the merchants, they get the layout. They learn a bit of where exactly on the land they are going to be looking for. And they also have found out from the lads that there are up to 15 members of the band now. So, they will have their pick of who to offer. Again, Caspian is sullen at the thought of having to give them a bribe. He wishes to ambush them. Give them a sound beating, if you will. But Beaver, on the other hand, feels that time is of the essence, and Caspian reminds them that the Captain of the Guard is not going to go anywhere without King Peter's knowledge, so there was really no reason to rush this. Beaver, on the other hand, reminded them that they were in foreign territory, to which Caspian reminded him that they had conquered Chon for a reason, and Beaver reminded him that the reason was in order to change the kingship so that Bertram could establish more of a glorious image by overcoming these criminals himself, to which Caspian finally, in his frustration, spat out that Beaver was nothing but a coward and was trying to get out of a fight. Beaver exploded with impatience and humiliation. However, did not really have an answer for this. He scuttled off and gave himself another extra-large helping of the dinner portion that the merchants' families were providing for them. Caspian, still fuming from his argument with Beaver, sat down further away and wanted to talk with Francis and see what his opinion was.
Well, I trust you guys. I suppose we should try and reason them first. But if they refuse to reason, listen to reason. Or you fight them off and take one of them as prisoner to testify.
Caspian nods. I definitely agree with that. But Beaver would want us to go up there first, with presents in our hands. And if that doesn't work, or worse if it does, but if we're up there and then we change our tactics, and we want to attack them, we'll be surrounded by them.
I was thinking, well, obviously we shouldn't just work with them. I was almost thinking that we could give it to them after they testify against.
Caspian nods. No, I understand what you're saying. These villains have been stealing plenty. I don't see why we should reward them. But my problem is, if we don't go in with the thought of ambushing them, if we're in their camp, how do we know we can trust them? Even if they agree. How do we know that they're not going to try to steal from us? Steal our weapons? Maybe bring us back and threaten a ransom for our return? I don't see how you can even trust them. I think the best thing is to go in and lay an ambush with them. Or at least arrange a parley. Force one of them out, and have a conversation with them.
Alright. Honestly, I think that's the best course of action, too. I'm not really up for the idea of rewarding them anyway.
Caspian nods. I'm very glad to hear that, Francis. That gives me great comfort.
Indeed.
We'll have to inform Beaver tomorrow. And so it was decided, very sound thought, to lay their own ambush on the unsuspecting criminals and wish to speak with the leader. So, it was early the next morning. Once the scouts of the young man came running back, we've been watching them. Three of them were on the northern cape and they've returned. And two of them from the south, the ones that I've been watching near the bushes, they've also been returning as well. So if you want to go, now is your time.
All right, let's go. For this our men gather. I also got something else I want to show them, Caspian.
Very well, Francis.
Well, we'll do it when we get there.
And so they reach the top, climbing up precarious, for it was a very well-situated campsite, climbing up precarious rock formations. The young men finally lead of the prosecutors to where the campsite could be seen. And indeed, the boys were correct. They saw a handful of men lazily about the fireplace. Three or four of them were just coming out of tents. And Caspian pointed to Francis just as they saw the arrivals. "Those are the men we saw," one of the boys blurts out. And yes, they were in the midst of exchanging. So, Caspian motioned to the recruits that they had gotten along the way, the merchants and their sons. Caspian motioned them to surround the camp. And they were armed to the teeth, for this was an opportunity that they had been rare and had been waiting for. And so the camp was very quickly surrounded by all of these volunteers. And drawing swords, Beaver included, Caspian then raised his voice. "You're all surrounded. This camp is under the watch of 20 men." You see that there's an immediate reaction inside, and some of the men are so shocked at hearing a voice, some of them are awoken, the ones that were sleeping by the fire, confused and groggy, don't even know what to do. And other ones, sensing something wrong, rush over and grab their weapons. "It is no use. You're all targeted. Anyone who makes a false move or attempts to attack will be shot immediately." For those were the orders that Caspian had given. He had made the alteration of to try to avoid anything mortal, but he did not mind if any of them got injured. You were going to say, I'm sorry.
Any attempts to fight will result in your weapons getting nullified, I say as they turn on my lightsaber.
And you hear that there's a general laughter. "First off, we'd like to know who's come to visit at such an unfortunate hour." And there's a laugh amongst them. But some of the men are far more tense. And while the others are making a joke of it, the others are trying to move and get closer to the border to get more of an insight. And as one of them is nearing the hedge row, an arrow flies and strikes right in front of his feet. And that certainly sends a message. "Do not come closer. You've already been given the warning." "What is it that you want, then, that you seem to dare to surround our encampment?" "We wish to speak to the man in charge of this ridiculous grouping." And there's a mixed results of reactions. Some are offended, some are laughing, and of course, some are still rightly suspicious. "He's not here." And there's another laughter amongst them, and a shh from the others. "What do you mean he's not here?" "He's gone to the village to buy some supplies." "You don't expect me to believe that. That's what the job of the underlings are for. Why do you think that he's worked so hard to become in charge?" "So that he can laze about the camp all day and not fire an arrow." Again, tenseness rises in the camp, such strong and rude words from an unknown voice. "Well, why don't you come in yourself? Speak to him on your own terms." "I am speaking on my own terms. He can come out. He has a voice, doesn't he? We can speak from here." "All right." And a man comes out from the tent. "Took you long enough, you coward. All right, spare your criticisms. The cowardly voice that accuses me, who speaks unseen from the rocks. You've been terrorizing these people for far too long." He puts his hands in his pockets. "So vengeance has finally come," and he motions to some of his men to start spreading out towards the edges. "I wouldn't do that."
"I will not do that. I can eviscerate your weapons within seconds."
And again, a few men burst out with a laugh. and I'm sure you'll make the earth swallow us whole. And they all start laughing again. Shut up!
Send one of your men towards me, and I'll prove it.
Shh, Francis, wait.
I can cut one of their weapons in half.
And Caspian goes, if it comes to that, I don't want to distract them, though. He's actually talking with me. Believe me, if we need to, you'll use it.
My bad. Please go on.
And the man, the captain, obviously, walks forward, taking a few paces. Well, old stranger, puts his hands out, you seem to have a gripe with my community. Well, if it was from last week's merchant caravan, I'm sorry. I have already traded out everything that we took, and anything that was edible has been stored away from the upcoming winter. I'm afraid I can't help you. Now, if you want some sort of monetary recompense, I'm sure we can scrounge up some sort of charity for you, but I'm not here for any of that. Well, I'm relieved, as I said, I wouldn't be able to pay you back, and I would be in quite a terrible position, considering I don't have much of a choice in this affair. You're very right.
Caspian, I have a thought.
Yes.
What if we told him that we already know that he has a relationship with the captain of the guard, and also suggests that he may be screwing him over.
You think that the captain of the guards is going to backstab them?
Who knows? He could be. Who knows? He wants the money.
True enough. Well, I don't want to be beyond his character. He already accused them of causing the avalanche. It's very true.
I mean, I could be wrong, but I believe, I think he was just using this community to justify more taxes.
That is a very excellent observation. Yes. No, I think it's a good plan. We are here on behalf of the new king, King Bertram. And some of the men give a holler and a laugh. But chief is unusually subdued. Yes, we heard some rumors of some doings at the castle. A great deal of army presence. Quite astounding. Seemed a little unprovoked. It has been coming in the making, in more subtle ways than you're aware of. The king doesn't touch us here. I don't care what his name is. Shh. Well, what does the new King Bertram send you here for? To put y'all under arrest, beaver! He wishes for some information. Information? Well, you seem to already know where we are. As far as numbers of thievery, you'd probably get more accurate numbers if you asked the merchants around here. As far as how many men I have, well, to be honest, I lose tracks. They come and they go. I'm not as strict a ruler as I should be.
Which of your men were ex-Charn soldiers?
There's an embarrassed hush. That is privileged information. If my men have any previous state of life and they have chosen to free themselves for whatever reason, I will not be bantering that sort of private information to these unknown voices in the wilderness. The captain of the guard has accused you all of starting an avalanche on this road within the past year. There's a murmur. Well, that is a strong statement. It is an avalanche. Avalanches can start in many ways. Why did he wish... Did he truly say that we were involved in that? It was strongly implied, and he was saying he was using you all as the reason why the taxes needed to be raised. The taxes were what? You did not know? The taxes were raised immediately afterwards. Because of an avalanche.
There should be more avalanches. That would make the king very rich. Maybe there'll be a tornado.
Shh, what is the reason for this raising? Because the roads needed to be fixed.
Ha-ha!
And there's a grand laughter.
That's a smart gimmick! Shut up!
Realizing that their own outburst proves their own guilt. Well, that is unfortunate. Thankfully, I'm not in the jurisdiction to need the roads. I am quite familiar with the paths through the rocks. So I suppose that end. Are you here to collect our taxes? I'm afraid we all haven't been complying for the past few years. You might have quite a bit. Are we to be jailed for that? Someone mentioned about us being arrested. No, you're not being jailed for that. We're here to ask if one of you would be willing to testify if, in fact, you had caused this avalanche. Oh, no. No, we're not going into town at all. Anywhere near the castle, and I know exactly what's going to happen.
Not all of you, just one of you.
Yes, well, for that one, out comes a list of accusations. They're neatly thrown into a dungeon and never heard of again. Now, unless you can guarantee some sort of assurances, I'm afraid our lovely little parley is going to have to come to a sound and abrupt ending. The captain of the guard is going to play up your guilt to such a manner that I would have every right, and possibly the order, to shoot you all on sight. And seeing as you don't see us, and we have a perfect targeting on you, we don't go down that easy. No, you don't. But I might bade you warning that if you were hired in one way or another, ex-Charnian soldier or not, if you were in any way hired by the captain of the guard, he is in a mood right now at present, because there is a long and intense court case in process right now. Really? The chief says, with a certain amount of interest in his voice. Regarding the imbalanced and abusive use of authority here in Charn, and it shows that the captain, your captain of the guard, is coming up quite high in that. He is aware of this and is feeling that concern, and I am afraid if he needs to cut off any dead wood in order to free himself, I think I must warn you that you are on his initial list of cutting. As you say, your list of accusations would be quite meritorious to his own freedom, and in laying much blame, since you were already notoriously guilty of so many well-known crimes. There's a murmur. What's he saying, boss? He's saying that snake could turn us all in for his own crimes. How do we know we can believe this? You come here unawares, unannounced. I still haven't had the privilege of seeing you face to face. And somehow you convince me that it is in my best interest to give one of them up to testify against Charn's illustrious captain of the guard. And what happens when the court case falls through? What happens when the court captain is not sentenced to jail? What happens? I'm sorry, you go ahead.
He'll be jailed.
He'll be jailed? On what accounts, may I ask? There are many several accounts on which he has been shown and proven to be taking money, that excessive money belonging to the taxation, and also making certain choices that were apparently made by King Roderick, and Roderick says that he knew nothing about. Ah, I see, the one-two dance. They each give each other the guilt. In this particular case, unfortunately, there's documentation that proves that the king is actually correct. Ah, so the old man kept the young king in ignorance.
Exactly.
Smart man. Smart move. Not surprising. Well then, sirs, seeing as you have us in your targets, and I'm not sure there's much sense in trying to dance around this, I suppose if I was to concede, I would need an assurance that my man does not disappear in the bowels of that castle forever. I'm not sure exactly what you mean. I mean that if he comes and he testifies against that captain, that he will be returned here safely. You have our agreement, Caspian says begrudgingly. Well, that's reassuring. On the other hand, I must say that you have interrupted our morning routine and it is quite cumbersome. Unfortunately, this is starting to get Caspian's ire aflame. Well, forgive me if we have allowed a few merchants to pass in peace. Oh, they'll always find a way to scurry about. Don't worry, we'll catch up with them. Caspian, Beaver says nervously as he sees that Caspian grips his sword tighter. I think it would be best to warn you, Caspian says, that the ill treatment of the people has not been reduced to the authority. I see you're starting to threaten me. I was warning you that perhaps, if by the time the court case is done and your man is returned, if there is still an encampment to return him to, he might come back with a host of soldiers. Believe me, he won't be trapped in the dungeon. But it might not be a very pleasant day on the camp when he returns. Caspian, what are you doing? I see that you are quite angered. That is a way of saying it. Well, I think that my men are very apt to deal with angry voices. And Caspian calms himself and states, if the captain is going to go down, we need one of you. And however it is he returns, he will be returned. For to be honest, the chief shrugs, if I don't move tonight, you could be back tomorrow, and while we are asleep, finish us off. I understand. Well, very well then. Is there anyone in particular that you would prefer to come? And you see that the men all look at each other. You're not gonna get rid of this, boss! You're letting them walk all over you?
Whoever caused the avalanche. That's who we want.
Well, do you mean who pushed the boulder?
Yes.
Well, I think...
Who pushed the boulder and took orders?
Well, we all took orders from the captain of the guard.
And there's a hush with you. Shut! Well, there's no point in playing around anymore. Yes, the captain told us to do it. Now, who actually pushed it? I can't remember who I gave the order to. If it would suffice and would satisfy you, I suppose if you're going to come back and destroy my camp anyway, I might as well go with you. And there's an alarm throughout the men. You're not gonna go! We're not gonna let you leave! And the chief looks back at them. There's no point. We've already been found. Now you men will move the camp to the location that we agreed upon. If I'm with them and I'm gone, that's all they want. Really, if I send one of you, do you think that's going to satisfy them? He's telling lies, the captain will say. For he's the one who told me, didn't he? If there's any way of getting the law off of our backs any more than it's going to be, the captain will play games with anyone else other than myself, so I might as well go and get this over with. But we're not going to let you leave. Well, if you don't, you're going to get shot, and I don't really see there's the worth in that. Very well, then, the captain turns around. I shall be more than happy to. And before he has a chance, you see that one of the men comes rushing towards the voices of Caspian and Francis, wielding a bow and arrow and firing rapidly. Francis! Caspian calls out.
Francis cuts one of the bows in half.
And throwing his lightsaber forward, he cut it in half, and it returned to him, so that before the man had a chance to get close, just as he has lost his bow and in bewilderment, he gets tackled and pulled out of the way. That was not my command. I didn't send him out. We saw the whole thing, don't worry about it. And Caspian calls out. Anyone else? The men are all silent. Be sure you return him within a week. Ugh, what, are you his mother? We just want to make sure that you hold up here under the bargain. Well, if you want to see him, why don't you come to the castle and make sure for yourself, you cowards? And the captain laughs. He finds it amusing, this sort of boldness in these voiceless, in these faceless voices. Somehow, part of him enjoys it. Very well, then, I am your prisoner, he says, and he puts his hand up. Don't shoot, especially at me, but don't shoot at anyone. Men, I shall return, and do take care of things while I'm gone. You know how irate I can get when things are all messed up and in the wrong order, and I leave it to you boys. Very well, then. And he walks forward, and he gives himself up to Caspian and Francis. And when we return, they will have brought him back to the castle, and he will have been sworn in and ready to give his testimony.
Oh, has it been a half hour already?
It has. It's been 31 minutes.
All right. That's fine.
I mean, we can do 5 more minutes if you if you want. I'm not sure how further we'll get, but we can make it a quick testimony if you like.
That's fine. That's fine. I more just wanted to get the pages translated too.
Oh, I see. Well, I have to warn you, there might be a glitch in that.
What do you mean?
I mean, they're out of order, and unfortunately, we will have to find someone who knows the family history to know why. It's going to be just like like, if you were going to read, I don't know how to describe it, but the words are going to be like if it was in some kind of a puzzle. Like, this, that, there, down, shepherd, up, spiral, sky, castle, that kind of thing.
Well, let me ask my mom and see if she'd be willing to let us go for 5 minutes.
Okay.
Hey, Mom? Five more minutes.
Okay, 5 more minutes starting now.
Alright, and with this, the chieftain is brought to the castle, and when the trial begins, he is sworn in. Alright, do you promise to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you Aslan?
Indeed I do.
Alright, please be seated. What exactly were your instructions from the captain of the guard?
Objection! The captain of the guard stands up. What is this man doing here? Oh, hello, captain. What are you doing here? There's a laughter amongst the courtroom. This man is an outlaw, a criminal. I don't see why the court should take his word for anything.
You've had dealings with him in the past.
Exactly. To stay out and of the villages of Tarn, and to stay on the border. And that's precisely what I did. To the benefit of both of us. There's a shock throughout the courtroom. The what? Peter asks. Benefit of both of us, my lord. By the way, it's wonderful to meet all of you, Narnian monarchy. I've heard so many stories about you. You know, you're only... You were in the southern part of Charn. You're not too far away from us, actually. There's just that wonderful gorge and ravine separating our kingdoms, but otherwise you might have seen of me sooner.
Thank goodness we didn't.
And he goes, well, to answer the question...
To answer the question, no one answered my question. Why are we taking testimony from a well-known brigand and criminal?
Like I've already told you, you've had dealings with him. And if you don't want any further... You don't want an extra charge to obstruction of justice, I would advise you let him speak.
I'm afraid we're probably the court is convinced that we get more of an objective testimony from this highway robber than unfortunately from you, Captain. And the listeners are shocked at such a bold statement. Please continue. So, Francis, what was your question?
As far as, like, what exactly did the Captain of the Guard tell you to do?
Who, the Captain of the Guard, what exactly did he tell me? Well, in regards to the avalanche issue, which, as I know, what brought you down to our humble camp, yes, he wanted me and my men to start several avalanches, but it turned out that only one was necessary to do the job. And we blocked objection, there is no written proof. Ah, unfortunately there is. You see, when we had made this agreement, I was supposed to get a cut and the share of the profits that were going to go into the remaking of the road. And so, we had a formal agreement. You may not remember, but I at least wrote down my half. And I was thoughtful enough to include this document. He lays it on the table. There it is. My half of the bargain and share. And also the small payment. Well, barge payment in reward for us starting this here avalanche. Now, to the court's knowledge, I wish to confess that I had no idea that the man was going to raise a general taxation for the entire kingdom. I was only going to get a small portion of stolen building necessities and supplies that were going to be made for the clearing away of the stones, and they would be shifted off and sent up to us and all like that. But I did not know that the captain was making off far more well than I was. I thought that I got off on the fatter share of the winnings, but no, it seems like he had quite the scheme. They tell me that you rose the taxes by a good 4%. That was very clever of you. I wasn't aware of that. You shut up! The Captain of the Guard hisses. Well, I must say that the avalanche was a fantastic idea. It worked soundly. The merchants were trapped several times, and we were able to raid them most easily. It was wonderful. Business was booming for a good 2 weeks before the word finally made it through all the villages. But then the repairs came, and then that became cumbersome. But in any case, for we were told to keep away because the road had to be cleared for the sake of the taxation to be a success, for it to stick. Apparently. I didn't know that. I just was told my part was to stay away and leave the workers alone. As far as any other things that the captain said, well, he would, without giving names, for I said I was not going to give any private information, he would, in fact, send some of his worst soldiers as recruits. And let me tell you, they were bulldogs when it came to any sort of raids. They were a bit difficult to deal with as far as taking orders, and sometimes we had to remove such difficult ones, but that was only occasionally. In general, though, they were fantastic fighters, and ruthless, completely without any morals, so it was quite easy to send them off on particularly difficult, if you know what I'm saying, difficult runs.
Yes, we do.
But for all of that, I did try to implement mercy as much as possible. What exactly did the Captain of the Guard have involved with that? Well, he would give me a small percentage, actually. He would give me a small payment to take these ex-soldiers, for I'm sure if you asked him, that there was some double-dealing going on between him and these soldiers. What do you mean by that? Really? Do you really think that the Captain of the Guard, unless it was something to cover his own action. Let's just say this. This soldier was probably either involved in something, involved with the captain, and the captain wanted to make sure that his name stayed clear, so what's the best thing to do? Eject him out of the castle. Now, if a soldier had really done something bad, and some sort of correction could have been made, that wouldn't implement the captain in some sort of way. I see what you're saying. You see what I'm getting at? He yes. would clear out the dirt that would in any way point back to him. And so we were the cleanest dustpan to put them in. Who's going to go looking for us? And who would suspect that the captain had anything to do with either these men before, after, or in between? And so I could say I would list at least eight. Eight men that got shunted after us. And the captain was... we would meet quite sociably, peacefully. He never did anything to arouse my anger. And I, for my part, kept very amiable business connections with him. And I hope that that testimony clears any questions in the court.
Just one. Why even rob the Charnians to begin with?
Well, that is a long and complicated question. I think initially...
What drove you in the first place?
I was not initially the captain. Well, I mean, I basically was. I had a partner. And it was not completely because we were driven out of need. There was great need. And we were not the only ones in need. I guess to say it in the most unflattering way, I had given up trying. And I was angry and spiteful at the constant complaining that all the other villagers did, but no one did anything about anything. And then I saw the few that actually tried. Well, they were soundly sent off and exiled to some horrible place. So, I stopped trying. I stopped trying to be a decent citizen, I stopped trying to be a good man, and I gave in to looking out for myself. Looking out for myself. If I had had a family, I would have looked out for my family, but they had died long since from the privations, so there was nothing to hold me back.
What a sad story.
I appreciate that sympathy. I truly do. I do not wish to contend with my sins and vices here in the courtroom at present. I don't think I'm quite prepared for that, but...
That's all right. I merely thought it best to ask you.
Well, thank you, sir. You know, there were others who strove to fight it back differently. Well, I commend them for that, Groundhog. Beaver. Beaver. I commend them for that, I truly do. I do not know if I did not have it in me, or if I did not seek to try to have it in me. I do not know if I will ever know. But.
Well, I suppose I can't make any promises, but let's just say we'll have a lot to discuss with after the trial. if you're willing to meet with Bertram.
Well, he speaks as though something just occurs to him.
Indeed.
Well, if the king is going to repeat the regime that led me to my life, it would be an interesting conversation, and I suppose it would be good for him to know his major crime lord. But
I honestly think he'll be decently surprised. But anyway, well, we should probably stop for the night. My bad.
Oh, that's okay. Well, we will end with that he is genuinely interested in considering the offer.
All right,
wow. Well, that was a good chapter.
I'd say, for now, we can return you... Well, what do you think, Caspian? I would suggest that you stick around till the end of this trial.
But my men, they won't worry. We'll send a messenger. He'll shoot an arrow into the camp. Well, all right then. I trust your word. You did not kill me on the way, and you didn't throw me into irons as soon as we got here, so... Very well then. To be honest, I am a little curious how it all turns out. Be most interested to see what happens with the dear old captain of the guard.
All right.
All right.
Well. That is where we'll have to stop for tonight.
Yes, indeed.
Like, I was going to make him promise, I was going to have it be that, like, if you want to be compensated for, like you attempt to atone and try to repay maybe either twice or thrice what you stole from them. Twice or thrice what you robbed of the civilians. The civilians and the businessmen, and perhaps we can have something arranged for you.
It's an interesting thought. We'll have to consider that. Yes.
And, you know, Bertram's got a golden convenience bag. I wouldn't have given it to him if I didn't trust him to use it.
That's very true. No point in it sitting around doing nothing. Well, I should let you go for now, but thanks. This was fun. I hope you enjoyed it.
Indeed. Well, this has been good.
It has. Yes. Captain Vigard, I think, is, he's in the ditch. I'm not sure he's going to pull himself out of this one.
Oh, no, he won't. But, I guess next when we come back, we'll have to... I guess the next episode will be the second to last one.
I think so, yes. Sorry, I got a little carried away at the camp.
That's alright. So I guess the next chapter will be dedicated to looking at... I guess we'd have to go on break again. We'd have to go on break, but we would have to translate that book.
Well, we can. We can also do it after the court date, because I'm not sure that it really pertains to Roderick's guilt or innocence.
Of course. Well, I thought it'd be interesting. Well, thought to let the captain hear what was in it, but he doesn't get to access it.
Oh, I see. Well, yeah, we'll have to play around with that.
Or just get angered that he doesn't get to have, or like he can know he won't get to have it.
That's right.
Especially since he acted dishonestly in his attempts to do so.
Yep, he sure did.
Well, exciting as always. I'll see you around.
Okay. Good night. Sleep well.
Sleep well.
Okay, and today is June 10th, 2026, 11:05 p.m.